Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I just practice before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
Middays on the Score.
Okay, Brooks Koepka, gotcha. Open Championship coverage is brought to you by the BMW Championship at Medina Country Club, August 13th through August 18th, 2019. Visit BMWChampionship.com. David Dusek is Golf Week senior writer. He is on Twitter at GolfWeek_Dusek, and I'm sure he's going to want to talk some Cubs baseball as well.
Oh, he's welcome to.
He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. What's happening, David? How you been?
Good afternoon. I'm the only one who woke up at 1:30 Eastern time this morning, so it feels like afternoon. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Afternoon to you. So obviously a big story on the course heading into this, and obviously now that he's completely exploded, is Rory McIlroy going home to play his home course. He was, in a lot of places, a betting favorite, if not the betting favorite. He quad-bogeyed to begin his day. What is going on? What has happened to Rory McIlroy?
You know, I mean, up until now, Roy McIlroy, I think, for the last couple of years, has probably had this week circled on the calendar. And I think the easy sort of explanation would be that he's almost wanted it too much, that he put too much into this and wasn't able to sort of handle the scrutiny and the spotlight that he was going to be under. I mean, I think the only player who can really empathize with this is Tiger, because the first time, obviously, we're bringing the Open Championship back to Northern Ireland, to Royal Portrush, since 1951, the entire golf nation, I mean, they're just crazy about the sport. And Rory is the one that is, you know, sort of to them is the chosen one. Like he's the son that they think is going to bring home all the titles. And right, as you mentioned from the get-go, he scores an 8 on a par 4. He hits out of bounds on his very first shot, has to take an unplayable after hitting his 4th, and just makes a mess of everything throughout the day. Showed a little bit of spunk trying to get it back. But I wonder if it was just, it sounds like a cop-out answer. You end up getting a terrible day on a tough golf course, and it could not have come at a worse time. It might be as simple as that. It could be a combination of bad shots, bad luck, and wanting it too much. He came in, he talked to the media. I give him a lot of credit for that. But to me, he just absolutely didn't have it, and we know he can hit the shots. So it's got to, me, be as much psychological as it is physical.
How does this layout at Royal Portrush and the current conditions stack up with what we tend to think of as the archetypical British Open courses?
This is it. I mean, there's a little bit more undulation in terms of, like, elevated tees and greens than you typically get at a links course. Links courses, by definition, link the sea to the land. And so you get these sand dunes and mounds, and usually they're, you know, 10 or 15 feet high, and it's sort of this rolling terrain. This one has a little bit more movement to it. The weather that we've seen today is absolutely right out of the textbook, where you get sun and warm weather, and then 20 minutes later it's raining sideways and blowing 30, and then it changes, and it's sort of comes to define golf, basically, you know, in the British Isles, the UK, and Ireland. This is what you get all the time, and this is what we honestly like to see. We don't get this kind of terrain and this kind of combination with weather here in the United States. It's a very unique style of golf. You have to play golf differently. The course demands it. The greens are slower. Guys are going to roll the ball up onto the greens oftentimes, which you don't see that much on the PGA Tour. This is a magnificent test, and so far it's proving to be a very challenging one for some of the game's best players.
Yeah, a lot of those big-time players are through three and even. Tiger Woods, Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Lee Westwood, all those guys. Lee Westwood at 5. I've seen, though, since he's gone off and we've started the show here, David, a couple of memes going around the internet about Tiger. There's struggle face going on, man. What is up with Tiger? What have you seen?
Well, he's not going to tell us anything, and certainly until he gets off the golf course. But it's The one that everybody's referring to is that his opening tee shot went into the left rough on the very first hole, and it wasn't in danger of going out of bounds. There is internal OB on the left side, which is a very bad, fluky, ridiculous thing in my opinion. But and he winced, and it was tough to tell whether he was wincing because of the bad shot or if there's something with the back. Now, clearly when Tiger won last last August, beginning of September, I suppose it was, in Atlanta. I was down there. It was hot. Very easy for someone with a bad back or aching muscles to stay loose and limber. Very easy.
Right.
It was damp in Augusta, but it was warm, and so he was able to handle that. And then at the PGA Championship and Pebble Beach for the U.S. Opens, it was cool. It was damp, and he never really seemed to have the speed that he showed earlier when he won those last two events, the Masters and the Tour Championship. So I wonder, and I think that everybody else does, is this golf course and this condition, cold and wet and windy, is this just present him with a challenge to where he just can't loosen up? He can't create the speed that everybody else has had, given all the back injuries he's had.
Fascinating name on the leaderboard right now in Kiradech Afabarnrat. Where is his game right now? And it's going to be broadcasters and fans alike may have to get used to saying that name more.
Well, everybody just refers to him around the PGA Tour as the Barn Rat. He is a true character. He is, if he was American and was playing a little bit more and was on TV, people would absolutely adore this guy. He collects Ferraris. He's a native of Thailand. He plays constantly. This is his first year on the PGA Tour, playing mostly on the US PGA Tour. He had played Asian Tour and European Tour. Big guy, big heart, loves life, loves food. If you could take a look at him on TV, you can sort of get a picture of that. He's got surprisingly good touch and feel for a big guy. I think you see sort of him, and you imagine he's going to really send it out there. He doesn't hit it as far as some of the other players that are out there. He's not a big hitter, but he's got a very deft touch and a lot of creativity. And the fact that he is able to right now go out there and shoot 68, he's tied for second place. I think that 68 could hold up. I don't know under these weather conditions if anybody's going to pass, Shane Lowry's 67 today, but not wholly surprising given that this guy has played all around the world in all different kinds of conditions, that when things are variable like they are, he's able to adapt his game and compete.
He's got a little John Daly in him, too, because it's not just the food. He smokes and vapes, and
he's working the vape like 24/7. He loves his Juul. He loves his vape. Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting lifestyle. He is a very interesting lifestyle. Let's just put it that way.
He's a Logan Square golfer is what he is. I wonder, you mentioned the weather a couple of times here, and that this course is a little atypical of open courses that as you might think of them. Is it the course or the weather that is going to restrict a certain skill set this weekend? Which one is going to fight harder against maybe some of the bigger hitters or some of the guys who don't have touch around the green?
I would argue that links golf courses, when they're played in the type of weather that we normally associate and that we're expecting, don't really restrict anybody. When Tom Watson 10 years ago at age 59 nearly won an Open Championship at Turnberry, there were blustery conditions then. The golf course being, built literally on sand dunes, drains exceptionally well. So it's not like the water slows it down all that much. A little bit, but not tons. You're not going to see standing water on the greens ever. The water just goes right through it. And I think that allows big hitters to have their advantage. They take shorter clubs. You'll see driving irons and potentially fairway woods in some cases off the tees because driver can sometimes go too far. But there are some drivable par fours. We've seen it. 17, 5, I believe, is sort of in play with that. There are a couple of them that are out there where big hitters get a little bit of an edge. But I think that one of the beauties of links golf is it's pretty much open to everybody. If you have some creativity and if you've got the nerve to try different types of shots than what we're normally on display at PGA Tour events, then anybody can win. Any style can win an Open Championship.
What does that mean for how the bag is set up? I know you've talked before about when you have to have multiple wedges, maybe you get a rescue club in there, a hybrid of some kind. What has been conventional wisdom for how to pick the weapons?
Usually what guys will do is that they'll carry a driver and one fairway wood, and they'll take out the higher lofted stuff because if the wind is blowing, you want to keep the ball down below the wind and play it along the ground. So you'll see guys maybe put in a 2-iron, a driving iron, something that's going to keep it on a lower trajectory so it's not knocked off its course by the wind quite as much. That's number one. And depending on exactly how comfortable the guys are, sometimes they will go with a wedge that has what's referred to as a lower bounce, which just means the leading edge is lower to the ground. It's better suited for harder turf, and it won't dig in quite as much given the technique that they're going to use. The grass is cut so tight around the greens. You see all these balls roll off and then roll 30 or 40 yards either back down a hill or into a collection area. And if the turf is firm and the grass is cut tight, the leading edge is up because you got a lot of bounce, it's very difficult to get underneath the ball and to be able to hit it up. So guys usually go with lower bounce wedges and driving irons when they play links courses.
So there's three guys, at least here on the show, that we've kind of grouped into one category. It's the one of these guys is going to win one of these days.
All right, is my guy on the list?
It's real specific. But it's Tommy Fleetwood, that's Dan's. Ricky Fowler, that's America's, and then John Rahm, but he's a crazy person. Which one of those three would you say is of the three most likely to come out of this sparkling?
I like all of them a lot, and they've all played well in these courses. Rahm just won the Irish Open. He's played Royal Port Rush as an amateur a couple of years ago, so he has a little bit more familiarity, I think, than some of the other guys, although I'm not 100% sure how much Tommy Fleetwood, who's from Southport, England, may have played Royal Port Rush. I know that this is the first time Fowler's playing it, certainly in competition. So I might give a little bit of an edge to Rahm. But as you said, sometimes he's loco in the cabeza, and he's got to really work hard to keep his head in the game. And he's done a much better job of that. He naturally has a lower ball flight, which, as I sort of mentioned earlier, you want to keep it down below the wind. If he putts well, he can definitely win. He's got all the other stuff. The European fans are going to love seeing a European player there. They would obviously love to see Fleetwood. They'd love to see Rory or G-Mac or Darren Clark went out there, and he hit the first tee shot and, of course, made birdie on one because he's Irish and they're lucky. And I just think that Rahm would be, out of those three, the most likely to be there at the end on Sunday.
What are the galleries like this day? There seems to be every tournament takes on its own sort of temperature when it comes to some of this stuff. And I know
right.
Every region for the Open Championship can be different in the way the patrons behave.
I think, number one, they're well hydrated. I think that's a given.
Okay.
One of my favorite things about the Open Championship is they have not only beer, but they have the famous grouse available on the golf course.
Wow.
So if things get a little bit chilly, you can go and have a wee dram of something to warm up your insides. I think that they're very, very eager to roar and to cheer. The attendance is sold out. The event is sold out, and they're anticipated to have ballpark of about 250,000 people attend the championship during the tournament days. It's going to be the second biggest or the second most attended British Open ever after the ones that they get at St. Andrews in Scotland. So tons and tons of people. It's a real happening, and obviously it's the biggest sporting event that's probably taken place in decades in Northern Ireland, and that means a lot. I mean, this event was announced that they were going back to Royal Port Rush. The only time that the Open Championship has been contested outside of England or Scotland are these two at Royal Port Rush, this one obviously being the second. It's a huge deal for the people of Northern Ireland to host this tournament. I think they're very proud, rightfully, to be here. They're looking to cheer. They'd love to cheer the hometown guys, the Irish players, Padraig Harrington and G-Mac and those guys, etc. They may have to shift gears a little bit because Rory McIlroy is going to really have to play well tomorrow to make the cut and be around for the weekend. But they love golf, as I said at the top, and they're very eager to put their best foot forward. And I have a feeling that we will probably very soon after this tournament concludes hear the announcement that the Open Championship will be coming back to Port Rush, and I think that this will become a regular stop on the road for the British Open.
All right, David Dusek, your Cubs are 5-1 out of the break right now and looking to wrest control of the NL Central from here on in. Your thoughts?
So my question to you guys, I'm looking at the schedule. We've got three against San Diego, which, you know, we got to be able to take two or three out of it. Then the schedule beyond that worries me a little bit, and I want you to talk me off the ledge, because then we go right into Milwaukee, St. Louis, critical games there. We go out west and we play San Francisco and then Milwaukee again. It's a big sort of next couple weeks are going to be really important for the whole schedule. Are we done making moves, or do you guys have a little bit of a insider info that you can share with me and nobody else, I suppose, on the air.
Yeah, it's just us girls talking. They're gonna make some sort of move, and I guess the hope is if I can help you with this schedule, the hope is that the Giants move some of their arms before you get in there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Please,
that would help out a little bit. And then
they've been playing lights out.
Oh yeah, I mean they've been better for you, and Will Smith has gotten his stuff figured out. Madison Bumgarner's pitching fairly well. Either of those guys could be moved. For my money, though, that Brewers team is ready to fall off a ledge. It just looks poised to fall over, and I don't, you know, I'm just not trusting them.
I don't trust them either. I mean, I'm 100% with you. The Cardinals look like that sneaky team to me right now that's just sort of lurking. And every night when I'm seeing and I'm saying, like, okay, we win again. I've been watching, you know, on MLB, and I'm like, great, we're taking care of business. And damn it, the Cardinals keep taking care of business along with us. And I don't know, and myself, I like the fact that we got Kimbrel. I like that move a lot, and he's looked like he's been good. I still would like to have one more arm back there that we just know is good for three outs. And that's just the part, I guess, that frightens me.
I think they'll get one.
I'm loving the pronoun usage here. It's outstanding. David, appreciate it. As always, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
That is David Dusek of Golf Week.
Quality.
Yeah, that's a full-blown Cub meatball right there.
All right, so he mentioned a couple of names that I ended up betting. You know me. I usually put a couple of dollars on about four or five golfers heading into each tournament.
Surprised that you did not have Charles Schwartzel or Xander Schauffele.
Oh, for one of these guys who's going to win one of these days? Yeah. Our three favorites between the three of us are Fleetwood, Fowler, and Rahm. In that category, but
Schwartzel's,
you're right.
Schwartzel's got one, doesn't he?
This is what, yeah, Schwartzel's got one. Yeah. The golfers I took were Tommy Fleetwood, because you have forced me to bet Tommy Fleetwood for every major championship from here until the end of time, so thanks for that. Took Xander Schauffele, took DJ, because it seemed like that was kind of the favorite to take going into this, because you didn't want to bet Rory McIlroy. That's sucker money. And then I did take John Rahm, too. So those are the four guys that you're rooting for. You, Dan, are rooting for over the weekend so that I can provide lunch on Monday or Tuesday for the show.
I think, depending on what I just heard from Shane, that we should be okay.
We may need lunch.
We may be okay in that regard. This segment was driven by Prestige Exotics. If you are planning a business trip, a wedding, or looking for the perfect ride for your child to arrive in style for homecoming, visit PrestigeExotics.com to rent your dream car. That's PrestigeExotics.com. As expected, that whole kerfuffle with Mai Tai Guy and the game-winning home run has ended up with us now knowing his name and now having people caping for him as if, well, this guy shouldn't be shamed on social media. Yes, he should. I want to push back against the pushback because this guy's a bag. And we'll name this D-bag. That's what this guy. It's like, oh, this is just how it works in the bleachers. It's stupid, and he's a bag.
A public flogging next. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know what I'm saying? It's a gamer. You know the rules here. You know, the Cubs can't be responsible for the actions of fans when trying to procure a home run or foul ball. Walk-off home run, kind of anybody's game. Feel bad for the kids, but it looked a lot worse than it really was.
Did you shove the kids?
Not at all.
That is complete loser Christopher Sorley, the guy who goes by Mai Tai Guy. No one said it's the Cubs' responsibility. Like, I don't think he even understands what people are mad about. That's a gamer? So you got to have that ball because it's a ball in a game, because there are some unwritten rules of how to chase a ball? You took a ball away from kids who are reaching for it.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
You weirdo.
That audio courtesy of the Tribune Intrepid Paul Sullivan, who went out to the bleachers to interview Mai Tai guy. We appreciate Paul for doing that kind of work.
And I read Paul's story, and I love Sully's work.
I love Sully. He's the best.
He can operate among these people, but when you see the words, these words here, veteran ball hawk, Mo Mullins, this goes back. One of the great things about the video boards being put up was it took away that whole subculture of these weirdo ball hawks. I grab a bunch of baseballs. Look at all the baseballs I have.
You know,
I just want someone to ask this Christopher Sorley, why do you want the ball? Why?
I mean, I don't have that answer for
why him. Do you want the ball? He's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of balls. We know that. Why do it's a gamer. Okay. And why do you need this as some sort of substitute for currency for your own self-esteem and self-worth? It is bizarre.
I just feel bad that he's – I mean, listen, his excuse at the end of this is
– it's a gamer.
I feel bad for the kids, but it looks worse than it was. How do you feel good about that? That's your excuse? Your get-out-of-jail-free card?
Why do you feel bad for the kids?
Uh-huh.
Why do you want the ball?
Those are all good questions. And it's not – you know, the guy seems willing to shroud himself in teaching these children life lessons in the bleachers at Wrigley Field. Those aren't the ones you need to learn there, guy. I mean, they're just not. It's not the thing you need to learn as if you're a kid at a baseball game.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. You get good and bad. That's the nature of the game. You live your life, and if people don't like it, they don't like it.
Okay, that means we don't have to like it. I don't. I'm not really a big fan. And, you know, whatever you want to do in your spare time, if you want to sit outside a ballpark and wait for a home run ball and hawk the thing or whatever, I got no problem with that. It's taking it from a kid, which is weird to me. And the fact that you've got that your life's work depends on defending yourself from having done that with a kid next to you. That's weird to me.
This segment is brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions at Ryan Field this fall, where they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Just take yourself through the psychological flow chart of this.
Ugh,
okay?
I don't want to.
Okay? This is after he grabbed the ball away from the kids who were reaching for the ball. I said, hey, guys, I'm really sorry. They all knew the rules. They had gotten their balls in batting practice. I'm sure they would have been happy to get one more. Who wouldn't? They knew what was going on, and they're going to remember that day for the rest of their life, however they want to remember.
That's okay. That's the equivalent of screaming mine, mine, mine at a child.
Correct. They'd gotten their balls in batting practice, but by your own logic, this one's a gamer. So those don't count. This is the one that matters. That's a gamer. They have a nickname for the balls that are actually in play in a game. And then they go talk to veteran ball hawk Mo Mullins. No, local weirdo Mo Mullins. Crazy person.
This guy's the guy outside the ballpark, right?
Veteran ball hawk.
But outside the stadium.
I've got a lot of balls.
But outside.
Yes, look at this room full of baseballs
cares,
I have.
Who cares what he does in his spare time? Who cares?
It's just referring.
Don't affect other people's enjoyment of a baseball game. At least this dude's outside the wall and on the other side of Waveland. Like, there's a difference between the
Furman.
Two.
It's just absolutely. And this guy, hey, you know, that's the rules, guy. I don't know. That's how it is. You know, they know. That's how it goes. That's a gamer.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope. I like this from the 847. Mai Tai guy has potentially created two supervillains in these kids. It's their supervillain origin story. The baseball was stolen from me at a game, and that's why I must destroy baseball.
This is Dan in St. John on the Score. Hey, Dan.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
What up?
12 years ago, my wife and I had tickets to the Sox team. We're in the second row behind the Sox dugout, and I had gone up to one of the concession stands to get a bratwurst. So I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm probably about 16 rows off the field. And the Sox, the inning is ending, and the Sox are coming off the field. And the aisle that we were on was right in line with the opening of the dugout. So this is where the players were coming in. Paul Konerko, they would throw him a ball, and then he would throw it up in the stands after every inning. So he heaves it up in the stands. I stopped dead in my tracks. I did not move. And the thing came right to me. I got the bratwurst in one hand.
Okay.
I catch the ball in the other hand. Nobody's around me.
All right.
So now I get tackled by, like, a bunch of kids, you know. So now it looks really bad because it looks like I took the ball from the kids. I mean, people are starting to boo me like George Costanza. It was really nasty. But
so did you give the ball to the kid?
No. You know what? My uncle had just passed away. So I kept the ball, and I gave it to my aunt, and we put it in his coffin. Send it with him. So at least it went to good use.
That's cool.
It's not good use. It's buried underground. It's the opposite of good use. Dan, thank you very much for the call. All right.
Well, thanks, Coom. I am so glad Rick decided to use those for good. Like, that's good.
Well,
that's what that conversation needed.
Well, it went to good use. Mm-hmm. How? We buried it underground.
Well,
forever.
Okay.
With Mario Machado?
That's literally the opposite of good use.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. Honestly,
my uncle was king of Egypt, and we put it in his pyramid.
The morning show also had a guy that can sympathize, Dominic from Lyle.
Dominic is in Lyle. Hey, Dominic, good morning. You're on the score.
Yeah, I was at the game the other day, and I had three baseballs I caught, and I was going after fourth and a fifth, and I was jumping, and anybody in my way would have been run over. It's my ball. I'm grabbing it.
See? Yeah, that sounds like an adult. That's an adult, Kevin.
Why, Dominic? I mean, what possesses you to have that approach going after something like that? Why would you do that?
I got to have the ball.
Why?
I don't know. I got to have it. It's a Major League Baseball. I only go to so many games, and I want the ball.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know what?
You know what I'm saying?
I respect Dominic. I do. I respect Dominic. At least if you're going to do this isn't a therapy session. This isn't a damn therapy session. This isn't for you to go out there and say, well, these are the rules and this is why I do this and all that kind of stuff. I took a ball from a kid, and if you don't like it, to hell with you. Just say that.
How about that?
Just say that. More respect for you if you're going to do that. This isn't a freaking therapy session for you to have it out and try and tell me why it's okay that you took a ball from a kid. Just say you wanted it, you took it, and the kid's got to move on. I don't have to like you for it, and you don't have to like yourself for it, but Jesus, God, just say it.
Jesse on the North Side, you're on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, what's up, guys? I totally agree with everything Colin was just saying. I respect that he just said, that's the way it is. I want the ball. I'm going to take the ball. I don't care what you think about it. In an age of, like, so many fake apologies.
Why do you?
I don't respect the action of doing it.
Okay.
I respect the action of just saying, this is who I am, and frankly, I don't care.
He's basically saying, I'm a bag, and that's who
I am.
I'm
an ass, right. And you have to live with it.
I mean, I see so many fake apologies in sports and media and everything, and then, okay, you know, my reputation, my everything is going to take a hit, and they think of, you know, I better make myself look a little bit better, be more marketable. Not that this guy's going to be very marketable for anything, except for maybe a handyman work or something. But, I mean, just tell me that you're a jerk and you don't care. And you know what? Good. Go on about your day.
Thanks, Jesse.
Appreciate it.
815 texter says that caller Dominic is actually a golden retriever. When you think about it, if you actually could interview a dog... Ball, right? Seriously, it's like, I don't know. It's in my nature. It's how I'm wired, and I see it, and I've been bred to go get it. It's what I do.
Can you imagine him during Bears radio broadcasts every time Thayer just goes,
ball! Where? What? Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Maybe that's just the way some brains are wired. You know, you could...
Could be.
And during thunderstorms, you need to hug Mai Tai guy, perhaps.
Well,
you know?
A good thunder shirt will help.
Yeah, get him a thunder shirt.
Yeah, some attention
or
there.
Or, as we learned in the midday midway, that it could be a buildup of static electricity, and a dryer sheet
actually
help take away some of that tension building static
By the way, his position on handyman is not does not reflect the opinion of the show.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Well, there's nothing wrong with handyman work.
We've been watching the guys build this studio.
Those are veteran union construction workers.
I'll bet they're pretty handy around the house.
They may be, but those guys are not handy men.
They could be, though.
They're kind of high-end.
The ability to cut anything in a straight line, be it drywall or wrapping paper, is an absolute skill.
I still can't color within the lines in a damn coloring book.
Oh, God. No. You know what? That's why they have those lasers. That's why they have freaking laser beams. Because they're called laser levels, by the way. We should have a laser level fight.
No, I like that. We absolutely should. I don't think the union's going to be real happy with that kind of stuff. But I love the union construction worker who texted in and said, Dan, we just call them lasers. All right, good to know.
Good. All right.
Not a lot of confusion around the workplace for that.
Are you telling me Dan tried to complicate a simple concept?
Grab the laser. I'm sorry.
No, I literally don't know what it's called. I didn't know if it's like a laser line maker thingy or laser finder pointer. They said laser level is what it was called.
Well, glad we know. The Midday Midway is coming up. I've got a follow-up to a story we had yesterday. It has made it to the very most elite halls of government, has this story. We're also going to talk about a climbing exploit that I didn't think was possible.
That's your thing. You are the guy who is the curator of climbing exploits.
Soon I will climb again.
As you work your way back to King Kong status. And I have a real estate investment opportunity for us that we need to think about.
It sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
No, it's not. Oh. It's not. It's a government auction.
That's exactly what a Ponzi schemer would say.
And also your chance to win free beer for life.
Now I'm in. Midday Midway on the way. Bernstein McKnight, 670, The Score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Midday Midway is brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running this weekend at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Join them Saturday for Miller Lite's Saturday Summer Concert Series and Sunday for Mascot Day with a mascot race out of the gate. Visit arlingtonpark.com for tickets.
Hell yes.
Now, is this mascots on horses? Is this horses on mascots?
Mascot horses.
Or mascots on mascots?
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, that could be fun.
It's going to be a couple of heats, actually, all those things.
Talked a lot about Cubs game yesterday. We went as a group from the station. And the
horse that rode in on you.
Had a terrific time. Les was one of the guys with us. He was keeping score of the game.
Good to see Les. I couldn't believe all of the old photos of you guys he has.
I don't know why he's kept them. Well,
he posted them, and they're on Facebook or whatever. He has all the old photos. Like, honestly, because, you know, I started here about 10 years ago and left for a little while, and y'all have been here so much longer than I have. But seeing, like, the old photos of you guys, the old crew kind of stuff from the early 2000s, even, like, prior to the 05 White Sox.
Late 90s.
It is so cool that Les has all of that stuff. I'm sure somebody, like a station archivist, has a bunch of things like that, but Les might be the guy with the most of it. It's really cool.
A lot of baseball, a lot of Darvish discussing his successes and what teammates are saying about him. We also talked about, now that we have a name for the Mai Tai guy, that total D-bag that is just an unrepentant and apparently unaware
Trying to be repentant.
D-bag.
If he were unrepentant, that would be somewhat better.
But he's not really. He's like, hey, that's the rules. The kids know. I don't care, man. That's how it goes.
Not in my bleachers.
All right. Yeah, whatever. Okay, dude. And David Dusek filled us in and previewed the remainder of the British Open.
So this posted on none other than blockclubchicago.org.
Your favorite site.
Here's the thing.
You just bought a t-shirt from them.
They're so good at what they do. If you live in town and you want news about the hyper-local neighborhood, these are the people that report on it. They're fantastic. But anyway, this posted just after the show yesterday, so I feel like it's a good time to wrap this up. Chance the Snapper, the Humboldt Park alligator, is heading for a life of luxury in Florida, says alligator Rob. Chance the Snapper is leaving Chicago permanently. The gator, who was captured at the lagoon early Tuesday, will depart the city as early as Thursday. That's today, according to Animal Control. He's headed to the St. Augustine Alligator Farm in St. Augustine, Florida, which is actually a part of his species' native range, unlike Chicago. Expert gator trapper Frank Robb said it's a good thing, pretty much a five-star resort for crocodilians. Rob said at the animal care and control facility, the farm has every crocodilian species.
And Brooklyn and sheep, too.
Of them. Yes. It's luxury stuff. You slide right in. 24 species in one place. No harm will ever come to him. He will have zero worries for the rest of his life. He will be on Easy Street. I promise he will be living in luxury. That's a promise from Frank Rob.
alligator.
But it sounds like where parents say that the deer doggy went.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? When it's really in a plastic bag behind a strip mall somewhere, right? Not to take the fun out of
it. Sorry, kids. Right. It's our show, our rules.
All right, if you've got some money here, maybe we should do this as a show and pool our resources. Three historic Great Lakes lighthouses owned by the federal government are going on the auction block.
Yes.
Now, wait. They include Lake Huron's Poe Reef Lighthouse, the lighthouse 6 miles east of Sheboygan, Michigan, that guides ships through a hazardous channel, the Ontonagon Breakwater Lighthouse, the westernmost lighthouse in the UP, that's at the entrance of the channel leading from the Ontonagon River from Lake Superior. I had a co-counselor who was from Ontonagon, actually. Yeah, great hockey player. And this is the one I want to buy. The Superior Entry Lighthouse that sits on a sandbar between Superior, Wisconsin, and Duluth, Minnesota.
I know this one.
I do, too.
Yes.
Now, I know. Now, I'm not going to show. Just look at the picture, okay? Uh-huh. Look at this idyllic structure here.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's not just a lighthouse. It's a historic rectangular-shaped concrete fog signal building. This is from the official description here in the auction site. Topped with a concrete cylindrical tower 56 feet in height. The foundation encloses a basement, a two-story main building with living quarters, and an integral light tower surmounted by a lantern. The superstructure is 5 stories in height, rectangular windows painted white with black trim. The main roof and lantern roof are red. The lantern is surrounded by a circular gallery, so you can walk the parapet, right? You can stand out there with your pipe and walk.
Hell yes.
Says the condition of the property is not warranted. Guess what the current bid is for this entire structure?
$200,000? $10,000.
It's like a used car.
$10,000?
We could have the Bernstein and McKnight Lighthouse.
Oh, my God. That scorehouse would never be the same.
And I love it there. They got a lot of money in Duluth Superior.
Yes,
that's where we spent our time off as camp counselors.
I can't tell you how in I am on this.
Should we do this?
Yeah.
All I have to do is click place bid, and we could end up owning this lighthouse.
Well, then click place bid, my friend. Click it. I'm in for half of $10,000.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Just have to find the half of $10,000.
You just have to liquidate your home.
In Mount Rushmore, Omaha, Nebraska, native Alexandria Incontro had a pretty damn good time. She free soloed the face of Mount Rushmore. Almost got her all the way to the top, and
wow.
She did it barefoot. She got to the very top of the little chimney. The chimney is a climbing term for kind of an enclosed space that you brace your both arms and legs up against and kind of alternate balancing and pushing one side against the other to climb. It's what we call a chimney. She nearly got up that George Washington Thomas Jefferson chimney. There have been free solo attempts at the face of Mount Rushmore before. The real dangerous stuff, well, I mean, the climbing without any sort of equipment is dangerous, but the real tough part is like getting up to the face of the mountain as it is. She was arrested after getting nearly all the way up there, fined $1,030 or so, and the lawyer didn't have much of a comment other than to say she was having a day, as it were, and nearly got all the way up the face of Mount Rushmore on a free solo while barefoot. That's cool.
Having a day meaning like a common manic
I don't think
episode
she was, oh,
or...
I don't know. I kind of took that as like just having a day feeling yourself
phrase.
A little
okay.
bit, but yeah.
You want free beer for life?
Yes, I do.
Well, guess what? None other than our friends over at Anheuser-Busch, Busch Light, is doing something special. They have announced that they are going to have a one-day-only pop-up bar. And it is going to appear in a national forest somewhere in the United States on Saturday.
Huh.
This is like Brigadoon. They have been on Twitter giving away some hints because it could literally be anywhere in the national forest area here, which is a total. There's 154 national forests in the country that cover almost 295,000 square miles.
Okay.
And Busch is going to be tweeting clues every day between now and Saturday to give you a better idea of where you're going. And if you find it, if you find what they're calling the Bush Pop-Up Shop, S-C-H-O-P, you will get free Bush Light for the rest of your life.
Do you hear that? That's Matt Bowen already running.
The van is revved.
And everyone else who gets there will receive limited edition merchandise, a logo lumberjack shirt. But they're also going to be doing this as a conservation effort where for anyone who manages to find the bar, they've also pledged to, with in working with the National Forest Foundation, they're going to plant 100 trees.
Cool.
And even if you want to stay home and sign the online pledge, Bush is going to donate $1 to the National Forest Foundation for every signature, up to $100,000 as they work to conserve 200,000 acres of forests. But this is... it's pretty fascinating. I don't know how they're going to do it. I know they're going to make you head for the mountains, as they used to say in their commercials. Head for the mountains of Bush. Beer. And I could be up for it. Maybe the woman, the Omaha native, can go barefoot and find it. But the very first person, beer for life, if you find their pop-up shop.
Quickly here to end it, because this is another public service announcement. This from NPR. The growing popularity of Face App, the photo filter app that delights smartphone users with its ability to transform the features of any face, like tracking on years of wrinkles, has prompted Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer to call for a federal investigation into the Russia-based company over what he says are potential national security and privacy risks to millions of Americans. It would be deeply troubling, he says, if the sensitive personal information of U.S. citizens was provided to a hostile foreign power actively engaged in cyber hostilities against the United States. I ask the FTC, consider whether there are adequate safeguards in place to prevent the privacy of Americans using this application, including government personnel and military service members, from being compromised. I'm not crazy, or at least I'm not any more crazy than the Senate. So there.
Well, again, it depends where you set the bar. That's sort of like Adam
Low
Dunn
as I can, my friend. Low as I can.
Fielding left fielder. We are going to continue to talk some Cubs with their television voice. He had a really good one to call yesterday. It was a fun game. Len Casper is going to let us know what he thinks. And a reminder, tomorrow, we had to put it off a day, but tomorrow we're going to talk to Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Theo Epstein, on this very show. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.